Now, lots of people, lots of pundits, lots of former GAA players, lots of other advisors have been advising the GAA to reverse course on GAA Go, both for the point of view of exclusive games or high-profile games being behind the paywall, and also the digital divide, digital exclusion that it presents for some GAA supporters in this country. Shortly before coming in air this morning, I spoke to the former GAA president, current MEP for Ireland South, Sean Kelly, and asked him for his take on the situation. That point that 39 games have been put behind the paywall by the GAA this year, and also the digital divide element of it, that not everyone who wants to can access or is technically capable of accessing the service and those high profile games.
Yes, I agree with the people who have said that, because when the deal was done on the media rights last year, I said I didn't think it was a great deal. I thought it was a retrograde step. Because when I was president of GAA, and even probably before me, we were trying to diversify and to ensure there wouldn't be a monopoly in terms of media rights. And I think Sky came in under that guise, and while some people had difficulty with it, at least those who were able to get Sky could get their games without having to pay for every single one of them. Now, as you said, we have GAA Go, which is really designed for the overseas. And I benefited myself. I used it a few times when I was in Delicate back during COVID, etc. But making everybody who wants to see these games, and they are the most attractive games in many instances, pay for them on an ongoing basis, week in, week out, I think it's not a good step for the GAA, because we're a voluntary organisation. These people have supported their club and their county all their lives. And I was fearing this would happen, but it was only, of course, when it came to reality and people saw the games that weren't being televised, that they basically, that people kicked up, and now they see the consequences, and you can see the furore, which I can understand.
Yeah, and is it all the more mystifying then, as revealed yesterday afternoon, following on from the comments of Liam O'Neill on the Upfront programme with Katie Hannan on Monday night, that he said, look, TV3 were kind of going out of business, so they weren't an option. Then Virgin Media steps in and said, first of all, that's not the case. And secondly, that the GAA never even approached them when Sky left the market. When it comes to sports rights, they never even approached them and asked them, would you be interested? So they could have made some money and ensured that plenty of games, and the GAA Go games perhaps, maybe at least a portion of it, would have gone free to air for these couple of years.
I agree completely, and even from a point of view of creating competition, which is absolutely vital in any situation, some of the games, if they weren't going to go to Sky, should definitely have gone to Virgin Media. I have no doubt they're doing a good job on it, and as you said, they'd be available free to air, but just not having any competition is going back to the position we had over 30 years ago nearly, and it's not good for any organisation to have that situation. And it isn't good for RT either, because you know yourself, in Radio Kerry, if there was no other station, only Radio Kerry, you wouldn't have to work as hard to maintain your audience, which you're doing tremendously well. But now that we don't have the competition, from that point of view, it's not good. There's also the question, of course, of having to pay for them on an individual basis, volunteers. And the third point, which you mentioned there, the whole question of digital access. Many people don't have the opportunity. Sometimes it doesn't work. We've all seen that. So it creates a lot of hassle for people. And I've met people and they say, look, listen, we won't bother at all. We'll go away and do something else rather than trying to get the games on GAA Go, etc. So you're leaving people disappointed when your aim should be to grow your game, to broaden your audience, and to facilitate, above all, your loyal supporters.
Would you be worried about that, and that argument, be it for, as particularly, I suppose, the hurling, but also when it comes to Kerry Mayo, one of the highest profile games of the year, there'll be limited numbers watching it on television because they won't have access to it free to air, that's not a good step forward in terms of broadening the appeal of the game?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah. And I mean, that's really what the raison d'etre of the GAA really is, to grow your games, to make sure that you can deal with competition, which we have done extremely well, but you can never take for granted. But this certainly is not going to help. And when you have disenchanted and upset supporters who have been with you all their lives, particularly those elderly, but not necessarily elderly either, others as well, then that's not a good situation. And I think it just needs to be addressed. And I felt this was going to happen when I was asked, interviewed last year, about the new media rights deal which the GAA had done. Mm. But people didn't take too much notice of it at that stage. Now it's really...
The ramifications are becoming clear. And does it add to the issue, Sean, this year, that there's a new format there, this new Sam Maguire stage, which starts the weekend after next, that is something people are getting used to? They're kind of getting used to the split season as well, and then on top of it, this new way of accessing games. It's all adding to the confusion around it, first of all.
Yeah, I mean, I drafted the proposals for the new format for the Sam Maguire over 10 years ago in the Examiner, and now they're coming to being, and I think it's a great thing, and I think it's very successful. But because you have extra games, you have extra profile games, much more interest in them, more people interested and more players involved, then you should always be, of course, ensuring that you get the widest possible audience and make it as easy as possible for people either to watch the games or to access them on television. And I think not having taken that on board was a genuine mistake by the GAA, but now that they have made it, you don't sit back and say, oh, sorry, we can't do anything about it. You have to take stock and rectify it.
What can they do? They have a contract signed with RTE for GAA Go, but they are in control. It's not like they're dealing with Sky, an outside entity. One of the reasons I imagine why they did this is that they could control their own games and control how they're broadcast. But does that leave them wriggle room or leeway to make a change?
I think what they should actually do is, once this season is over, because you're not going to make changes now in 2 months, in July the All-Ireland will be on, consult with members, clubs, county boards. Take what they have said on board and then go and talk to RTE, etc. And I would say renegotiate the contract and look to give more media rights to others, including Virgin Media, and above all, to ensure that our supporters have access to the biggest games of the year on a free-to-air basis. I think that is what should be done. They might say it's difficult because of the contract, but at least if you sit down and try to do something about it, then at least they have addressed it. If you say, oh, sorry, we can't do anything about it until 5 or 6 years' time, that's going to be very, very late, and it's not a good idea.
And RTE, they're a media partner anyway of the GAA, so you'd imagine there'd be relationships there and there'd be amenable some sort of negotiation on the matter.
Absolutely, and in fairness, I mean, when we didn't have other television stations, and even right now, RTE are doing a good job. There's no question about that. And have been very loyal to the GAA. But that doesn't mean that this situation should continue of a virtual monopoly, which is now restricting the opportunities for fans to see games which they want to watch, be they on either people in their own homes or maybe elderly people in nursing homes, you name it, people right across the country who look forward to seeing a game on television which they have fierce interest in, and now they can't do it. I think we need to address that single fact and do something about it, or at least make an effort to do something about it.
Okay, Sean, final point for you on it. Just playing devil's advocate here, what do you make to the argument that's been made that, look, the GAA Go system, it's set up to enable more games than ever to be on air. There's only so much room in RTE to put on games. They have more games than ever that you can access to if you want to, if you can pay, and if you can get past the digital barrier for some people. And the GAA need to make money. They need funding. They're competing against professional sports, be it soccer, rugby and others that are gaining in popularity, and that they need to have control of their games to make sure that they can put the funding in where it's needed, developing grounds, helping coaching systems, growing hurling in places where hurling isn't as popular, those sort of things. What's your argument or your response to that?
The GAA will always have control of the games because the GAA is responsible for the games. So it's up to the GAA then to decide what's the best deal, considering everything, both monetizing it, which shouldn't be the main priority, but obviously finance is important, but more importantly ensuring that there is a proper treatment for their supporters and proper access to the games and their supporters. And I think that's a key element that has to be considered. And also, of course, you improve your bargaining by having competition. If you don't have competition, then how can you improve your bargaining power? So I think all those things should be considered. And the final point, Jerry, which is very important as well, it's the fact that over 50% of people in the European Union have little or low digital skills. So the GAA expecting all their supporters, 100% of them, to have digital skills and digital access, I think is a little bit too quick as well. So that's another consideration, that even with the best will in the world, many people wouldn't be in a position to be able to access them through GAA Go. So when you consider those facts, I think you can see that really a rethink is necessary, and I hope it will do it, because I don't want to be criticising the GAA as a former president, that's not my role, but at the same time I want to do what is good for the GAA, and I think what's happening at the moment is not good for the GAA, and when something's not good for you, you try and change it immediately. You don't sit back and put up your hand and say we can't do anything about it.